Joe, what was your first contact with the Tibetan monks?
Well, I had been doing a lot of research on Tibet because I knew about Tibet sort of peripherally, like everybody does, that it's a bad situation. And we had Tibetan monks here in Northern California that were on a cultural tour. And I set up an interview time with them to sort of add it to my research with what I was doing.
And from what I understand, you have a snail mail correspondence going with an individual by the name of Jam Yang Nordu, who I understand also doesn't speak English. How is that possible, and how did this correspondence give rise to the Tibetan Photo Project?
Well, through my contact with the monks here in Northern California, I discovered a sponsorship program. And you send $20, and you are assigned a monk in exile in India living in one of the monasteries. And I send a letter there in English, and it arrives at the monastery, and it goes into a box that gets pulled out of, and it's interpreted and then given to Jam Yang. He then writes in the Tibetan script, goes back to the box, they interpret it, it comes back to me. And it's been a lesson in patience, because a single correspondence can take 3 or 4 months because of this process.
And from that correspondence that started with Jam Yang, how did the Tibetan Photo Project come about?
I've been a photographer for most of my life. I'm 50 years old, so the very first thing that I did was I dropped a couple of disposable cameras in the mail to him, because I had seen so many beautiful works on the Tibetans, photographic books, portfolios, etc., and none of them had been generated by the Tibetans. They were always the Western eye looking in. So I sent him a couple of cameras, and he was so generous, he responded, and I got the film back, and at that point, I just loaded up about 10 more cameras and sent them in, and that was kind of the start of it.
So it was just by some kind of haphazard chance that you threw these disposable cameras in and out popped these photos, and that's how the project was born.
Right. And, you know, I teach photography, and I had just given him the very basics of how to use a camera and how to get the light right, but I didn't want to influence what he would shoot. And when I got the results back, I said, I have to do more with this.
Now, how long have you been doing this project?
We started it in 2000. And my research on the Tibetan situation was about a year before that. And since I don't really have any money, I decided I better really research this and make sure that this project was going to be something that I could commit myself to.
Now, going back to the sponsorship issue, there are many worthy causes in our world that people can attach themselves to fight for or to support. What was it about this particular issue that called you?
For one, I think we all have to look for something where we can have the most impact. And since I have very little resources and absolutely no voice, I just thought that it would be a really good idea to work with the Tibetan Photo Project, because it was something that the Tibetans had never ever used cameras themselves to document their own culture. And this gave them a voice, because the media, like yourselves, will pick up on it and report on it and tell people about it. And so this gives them their own voice for people to learn about their story and their situation.
Would you consider the project a form of protest, or is it just a means to communicate the plight of an oppressed people to a wider audience?
Well, I don't consider it a form of protest. I think from our point of view, from the West, we really need to wake up and understand what we're financing in China through Western investment and through our own consumer buying. We really need to understand the nature of China's leadership, not the Chinese people, but their leadership. And it's extremely relevant right now, because the new president of China made his reputation as the party secretary in Tibet, and he was very much a hardliner, and we're going to have to deal with this guy for a very long time. And I really think we need to slow down the Western funds that are financing China's immense growth, both as an economic power and as a military power.
Now, in terms of creating a voice for the Tibetan people, how successful has this project been?
Well, certainly, you're calling from Ottawa, and I'm in Northern California, so that certainly tells you how it's kind of traveled. But the combined circulation of all of the publications that have written about the Tibetan Photo Project so far adds up to 20 million.
20 million?
Combined circulation. I don't know how many readers have picked up on that, but that's what we've gotten so far.
Now, having been a photographer for over 30 years, it would be reasonable to assume that the power of the image and the power of photography is something that you believe in. What do you think it is about photography and the still image that still manages to capture people's attention?
Well, I think that, you know, it's a chance for us to look at each other, and it's a chance to see each other, and it freezes a moment in time. I mean, the concept of the Vietnam War was changed with people by very specific images. People can remember very specific images. And what happens is, you know, dialogue puts things on the table, and then the photograph puts them in a very human context.
And how important do you think it is that we see how people see themselves through their own eyes?
Well, I think it's very important. Like in the case of the Tibetans, like I said, their cause has been forwarded by many, many photographic books, works, movies, et cetera, and so it does create sort of this image that we have of the Tibetan situation. And, you know, from the Western side, it's a very reverent view, and I do think it's very important for them. I open our website up so that they can submit whatever they want to submit, and I will put it up, because I tell them just to show us what you want us to see, because we may be missing something by looking in with preconceived notions.
This is very true. Now, has your involvement with the Tibetan monks and the Tibetan people changed your religious views or your spiritual beliefs at all?
Well, I've always looked at religion sort of as being too dogmatic and awfully hard to really get involved in. And what the involvement with the Tibetans has given me is it's given me a lot more respect for people's need for religion. And I certainly have a lot of respect for the Tibetan Buddhism because it's not very dogmatic, and it's much more in search of the truth. And they're quite willing to throw out their beliefs if they can be proven wrong, which is very unique to most religions.
Now, in terms of their plight, a lot of the change that they expect to happen or that they hope to happen is going to be done or is trying to be gained through peaceful means. What have you learned through that process, and do you think that's actually possible in this case?
Well, I think it's possible. I think it's really the only answer. I think there are a lot of young Tibetans that are getting very impatient with the situation with China, and, you know, it could erupt badly, and they would lose world support because the only thing that they have, the only tool that they have is the truth about what's happening to them and peaceful means, and then that has to be coupled with economic action because essentially what the Chinese government's going to listen to is whether or not people go to Beijing in 2008 for the Olympics and whether people or not buy the goods and want to invest over there. But it'll have to happen peacefully because the Tibetans don't have the strength to do it any other way.
And in terms of the future, what do you hope will be gained through a project like this?
Well, the Dalai Lama is 67 years old, and that's how most people know Tibet. He's the most common face for Tibet, but he's 67 years old. I'm hoping that this helps enlarge and grow another voice from the Tibetans themselves so that their story can continue to be told and that hopefully action and effort will continue to be made on their behalf.
Joe Mickey, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time out all the way from California to talk to us today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.